The question for our consideration tonight is this: is premarital sex all right? And in case you have any doubts, let me turn you to the Gospel of St. Matthew. Please turn there to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. And the Lord Jesus himself will answer this question for us, so that you do not need to have any kind of doubt whatsoever whether premarital sex is all right. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 27. Here the Lord himself speaks to us. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You have the answer to your question already. All of God's people should have no doubt whatsoever about premarital sex. In my practice as a gynecologist, in the early days, patients would come with mothers. I'm referring to young girls. And as a rule, the mother will quietly whisper to me, "Hey, my daughter is not married." So the rest, you understand, that both mother and daughter expect me to treat the child, the daughter, as a virgin. Over the years, this has changed. I'm very clear of this. Whereas in the old days, virginity was guarded preciously and jealously. By the end of my practice, young girls would come in and ask to be examined in case they have some transmitted disease. That's it. As a matter of fact, without any qualms at all. Dear friends, we're living in the end times. And our Lord Jesus says, you know the end times. There will be a return to the days of Lot. What are the days of Lot? If you look into Genesis chapter 19 and the account of the visit of two angels to the city of Sodom, and how that before bedtime, practically the whole city had surrounded the house of Lot, demanding to have the two young men delivered to them for their animal desires. Amazing. A whole city of Sodom aflame with sexual desires. What is wrong with premarital sex? I will show to you in a number of OHPs so that you will leave this sanctuary persuaded by God's word. We're talking of end-time society. Society refers to a collection of people
How this society behaves today is so different from years ago. And I call this the Hollywood culture. Well, the other word you may wish to use instead of Hollywood is Playboy. Thank God the Singapore's government banned the import of Playboy magazine. However, since that ban, the whole society and public of Singapore has changed in its outlook on sex. So we are talking of days of Lot has come on earth. Do you realize this? In Singapore, it is not so evident, but you go to any city in Europe and you find sex shops openly everywhere. You just walk in for any kind of aid or appliance or helps for the sexual desires and appeasement of men as well as women. Today, sexuality is being exploited in ways you cannot even guess. To sell an article, they put a pretty young, almost unclothed woman next to it. Sell your car, for example. And it attracts people to see and then to buy. Sex is glamorized and commercialized. What do you mean by glamorized? Made so attractive that it feels good to go after it. Commercialized, as I mentioned, so many articles are now tied in with some attractive figure. All this is the globalization of Hollywood culture. What is the Hollywood culture? The films and the materials that come out of Hollywood, and today it is aided by television, but television is, as it were, going out of fashion. Now it's computers and all the derivatives of computers that go into a pocket that boys and girls can operate at any age. So much so that many of our young people are addicted to these things. Sociologists in the West are very worried. What to do with young people who claim they're studying? Study. 2 a.m. Parents dare not knock at the door. If they do, quietly, "Hey son, what are you doing?" "Study, lah." "That's all. You don't disturb. I'm studying." Who is to know? I've read articles that they say parents should occasionally look over the shoulder. I say that is not the answer to it. I read the Forum of Straits Times a couple of weeks ago. Again, on this matter of premarital sex. And it was mentioned that an ex-bishop of the Methodist Church advocated two things. Sex education, contraception is the answer to these teenage sex. This rampant proliferation, you know, did you read in the papers? A girl of 10 years old in London was found pregnant. Amazing. What is happening? Days of Sodom. What can you do about it? I say you cannot do anything about society. It was predicted. Our Lord said it will be. There's nothing you can do to stop it because society does not know the Lord, neither His law, which I've read to you. Jesus says, "You people are quibbling about adultery. I'm telling you, Anyone who looks with lust at someone of the opposite sex, he has committed adultery in his heart already. So this kind of thing is spreading everywhere. Global media aid arousal. Do you know that children of 3 and 4 can be sexually aroused? I'm ignorant to these things, but I read. These are the things that should wake us up to what is happening around us. Do you know that because of the law in the Roman Catholic Church prohibiting all the priests from getting married by the law of celibacy, they're not allowed to. Well, you can't do it properly. They do it improperly. And so they pair off men with men. And there is a society called Dignity. And it is reported that more than half of the priests are members of Dignity. Oh, it feels good. Don't you look down on us. We have dignity to do what we do naturally. Mrs. Clinton, the present Secretary of State, aiding number 2 power next to Obama, has issued a call to all the nations of United Nations, UN. And she says, human rights apply also to gays. Don't you discriminate against gays. Now you say, what has that got to do with premarital sex? It is all part and parcel of the explosion of sex. It's amazing. But it is coming, it is prophetic, and Jesus says, it will come. And I say, it has come. Years ago, we were debating, and I was watching. First, it came to America. Will gays be approved? Answer is yes. Almost, I would say, completely approved in America. Now they are debating in Australia and Singapore. Australia is almost gone already. Singapore is coming. 3 years ago, there was this little furor about AWARE. A society called AWARE was going around to the schools to, under the guise of sex education or health education, was teaching young people how to conduct themselves in this area. And the rules were given, as long as you enjoy it, as long as there's no disease, no pain, you're okay. This is the kind of teaching that is going around. Global media aid arousal. If you don't stir them, don't arouse them, most young people will be quite contented to do their studies and focus and concentrate on studies. Today, no longer. Why, chat rooms, computers. You don't know the fellow from Adam, but he is become your friend. And through that, liaisons happen and things happen until you get a call at 2 a.m. from an anxious father. Pastor, what can I do? Can you help? My daughter is pregnant. So this previous bishop of the Methodist Church says, teach them contraception, la. Why don't you? It will stop these pregnancies. Ah, dear friends, that is not a solution. So he says, sex education. The more education you give, the more interest and more arousal they have to have a go. This is it. I say, what are we talking about? If we talk and say all talk but no action, we are fooling ourselves. We must all awake to the gravity of the times. Young parents, I'm so sorry that I don't see many young parents here. A lot of old people and younger ones. They seem not to be interested until it hits their own family. And this is the problem today. This is a sign of the times, sign of the Lord's coming soon. Now, speaking as a physician, I have listed here five physiological functions that we all have as human beings. God has given us these functions. Function of breathing. The moment you're born, you must breathe. And the first noise you make as a breath you take is cry. In my practice, seeing the thousands of babies we've delivered, everyone comes with a cry. Why? Breathing. Now, breathing is the most important physiological function. Is it necessary to make a law about how to breathe? No. Of all the functions, breathing, next is eating. Defecation, that is getting rid of waste. Sleeping. And finally, reproduction. Of the five, four of them, there is no law, nothing to teach people how to regulate, how to exercise these functions, except one, just one. Did you realize this? That in the area of reproduction, God the Creator has put certain rule for successful use of this function, not the others. There's no need to. And to give this rule, it was given together with the nine other commandments. Do you know the commandments? 10 of them. And they are all like traffic highway code, given for our welfare and for our safety and for communal peace. Do you know that? Ah, dear friends, the sooner we all understand and revere God's 10 commandments for us, the better it is. So, just coming back to reproduction, it is also called procreation. Do you see the word creation in this procreation? God is given to human beings part of His supernatural function and ability of creation. Any pairing of male and female is able to, under normal circumstances, produce and reproduce. And therefore, God, giving over this function, also gives with it the rule for the use of this function, so that people do not go mad and run wild and anyhow use this reproductive facility. Please understand, God did not do this for nothing. I want to draw your attention to the way the Ten Commandments were given. And this is described for us in Exodus chapter 20. Make a note of it. When you go home, you will want to read it, because it is a most dramatic and most arresting account of how God gave the Ten Commandments. Do you know it? It is the only time that God Himself came down to earth to communicate with man, the only time, and to give it not only in voice, but in writing. And he wrote with his own finger on two tables of stone, the Ten Commandments. Oh, dear friends, the account of it must cause you to ponder and to consider what an awesome and sacred occasion it was. God gave to Moses the instructions, prepare the people. I am coming down to tell you something most important. And the people must all be prepared, and even the place, Mount Sinai, must be prepared. Because I'm coming down to tell you something most important, the Ten Commandments, how humankind, mankind, must conduct themselves for a peaceful and for a complete society, without which is like driving in Singapore with no highway code whatsoever. Those of us who have been to some of the third world countries come back with the hairs almost drop off. Because the kind of driving there is totally a law unto yourself. I was in Pontianak, and when you drive along the highway, it's not one direction. It's four directions. Four. I'm absolutely giving to you. You drive your cars and all the rest of the traffic is going this way. There's a second stream coming this way. All right, two ways. Mine, by the side, all the motorcycles are going that way. While you're going this way, they're going that way. And the same, one stream going this way, one stream going that way. Four directions. Highway code. Where is it? So God gives to us Ten Commandments with utmost solemnity and awe. 3 days of preparation, God told Moses, you better prepare the people. They cannot appear before me with dirty and smelly clothes. All of them must wash and do good laundering before you appear before me. Do we do that? And then this whole mountain has to be cordoned off, because I'm going to descend on this mountain. Anybody who transgresses will be shot dead on the spot. And then on that day, in the midst of lightning, thunder, earthquake, and the sound of a trumpet, most frightening, heavenly trumpet, announcing the Lord of creation is coming down. And that's how God came down. Please understand, it is not a laughing matter. It's not a joke. But this is to impress on human beings. God has made us for a purpose on earth, to glorify Him, not to live anyhow we like. But God is observing, and He will reward each one according to how he lives. So His coming was attended with lightning, thunder, earthquake, trumpet, and smoke. The whole mountain smoked. Amazing. And God came down and He spoke the Ten Commandments, and they wrote it on stone. The one and only time, wrote with His finger. And what He wrote is the Ten Commandments. Why ten? Why ten? You ask me. Ten is the complete figure. Seven, eight, nine are not complete. Ten is complete. And with these Ten Commandments, all humankind can be governed in every sphere of human activity. The Ten Commandments apply. And it's not for nothing. It is not a joke, dear friends. As it is appointed unto men to apply and to obey the Ten Commandments and to die one day. None of us is everlasting. All of us are under sentence of death. But after that, there is judgment. That's why Ten Commandments, you think it's a joke? It's not a joke. One day, God is going to judge every human being according to His Ten Commandments. And these commandments will never, never pass away. Never. Dear friends, you may get angry and say, well, I don't believe it. Throw it into the basket. Our welfare and safety is like the highway code. You go to the traffic police and say, oh, rubbish, I don't care for the highway code. I'm going to drive my car anyhow. You try that? Now we are concerned tonight with the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus says, don't go by the letter of the law. Because anyone who visually begins to be involved in the area of sex, in an illicit and illegal manner, he has been guilty of adultery. So this includes all kinds of illicit sexual activity, whether it is visual, actual, by yourself, with another person, and some with animals. All these are being documented. You say, as long as nobody else is hurt, as long as I enjoy it, who cares? I say, dear friends, none of us came to the earth by your own volition. Did anyone here come by your own volition? That you one day decided, I'm going to come to earth. One day you'll be taken out of earth. There is a power that puts you here, takes you out, and puts you to trial. As it is appointed unto men once to die. Hebrews 9:27. After that, there is judgment. What do you think the commandments are for? For playing the fool? For decoration? Our dear friends, all sexual impurity, premarital sex, extramarital affairs, all these go under it. No matter what you do, or no matter how you do, as long as you violate the seventh commandment, all that is sexual impurity. There is no bargaining with this. God has said so, it is so. Now, what is the solution? Not what the bishop of the Methodist said. Sex education. Oh, dear friends, the more you educate them, the more you arouse them. And they want to put it to practice. Where are you? You're back to square one. Not contraception. I was in Canada. And when I went to the airport toilet, you know what I saw there? A big notice. Don't leave home without your condom. You understand what that means. If you don't know, look at the dictionary. Not the fear of sexual transmitted disease. Because you're afraid of it, so you take precaution. That does not help. Not to guard your reputation, then you say, I will take measures so that nobody knows. Ah, dear friends, God knows. Reputation with God is most important. Ah, it's not getting married, don't get married. Then you don't commit any of these blunders and offenses. Is that right? No, dear friends. I told you. Dignity. They pretend they're so holy, holy. They say, we are dignity. But every year, the Supreme Court will sentence them. And these priests got to pay millions, millions of dollars in the States. What must we do? The solution is, dear friends, if you're a believer, it says here, we read in the passage just now, 1 Corinthians 6. Know ye not, if you're a believer, you are the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, that is, the Spirit of God, is in you. If you're a believer, that is so. If you're not a believer, you are destined to everlasting hell. You turn to the Savior and repent of your sins. Magnify the Lord by your life. This is what all of us should do and think about it. Don't say as long as people don't know. Why worry? I say, you worry, you worry. All of us. God has given us a mind. God has given us the understanding that as a human being, we owe the Creator. No, today, everything outside in society, everybody talks about, oh, when we first came down from the trees, so many hundreds and thousands of years ago, and dropped our tail and became human. Oh, dear friends, let not those imaginary fairy tales bluff you and carry you into mad way of life. We are all called as Christians to magnify the Lord by our lives. Are you? And here I repeat again, know you not. If you're a Christian, do you know? This is what it means. Do you know if you're a Christian, you came before the congregation, confessed Jesus, you were baptized, and said, Jesus is my Lord, make sure that you know. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. Glorify therefore God in the way you live. Not then in the way you come to church and everybody says, wow, that fellow carry Bible also and looks so good, so holy. That is not what is required of us. So we want to close with this. I would like you to turn to this passage in Titus 2, 12 to 14. It is so instructive, so clear, and so good. The book of Titus was written by Paul the Apostle to Titus, his son. Verse 12 of chapter 2 of Titus. It is so good, I want to read it to you. That teaching us that denying ungodliness, what is ungodliness? Anything that violates any of these commandments, anything that defames the name of our Savior is denying Him ungodliness. Worldly lusts. I must say a word about the computer derivatives today. Even in the telephone, you can get it, I'm told. I don't own it. I don't operate it. But I'm told it is present everywhere, anywhere. No matter where you are, if you know how to press the right buttons, you get it. Pornography. Blue films, red films, all kinds of films. Now come to Titus chapter 2. Teaching us that denying ungodliness Say no to the ungodliness, worldly lusts. When friends, so-called, come and entice you, say no to them. We should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, because this present world is doomed to destruction. It is Sodom now proliferated to the whole world, almost, almost. And when that happens, the Lord will come. Are you ready? Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That is, if you are a child of God, this is what applies to you. You say, He is my great God. It is a glorious appearing. He is my Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to His coming. Are you? Can you say this honestly? Verse 14. Because He gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Whereas Adam gave us the evil nature, the fallen nature, and we in our lives have fallen away in so many areas. Maybe before you were converted, maybe after you were converted, there is a place for repentance and turning back to God, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar, that is, an exclusive, a special people, zealous of good works. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the instruction of Thy word, that all who name the name of Christ will understand this, and will resolve even now to give their lives to Thee for Thy use, to give their bodies a living sacrifice, not conformed to the world, but wholly acceptable unto God, for God's use as the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, hear this our prayer. For we pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.